Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast. We were lucky enough to have another great guest, WTA Touring Pro Marion Bulfighter. Huh? If I got that right, I hope I did something. She was here about 2 years ago. She is got her ranking back up to the 300s. She had been injured and out. It was great to talk to her about. We kind of got really detailed oriented about surgery, and we all see athletes traveling around the world, and we see them in these exotic places, and we think it's all rainbows and unicorns, but we really got into the surgery part and understanding how most players are injured, most players are dealing with something, and how you deal with that. It's not all like finals and palm trees and all those things. So it was great to talk to her. Please follow her on social media with her name, and it says at official. That's her name on Instagram, her name and at official. And hopefully enjoy the conversation with Marion. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for spending the time. I really appreciate it.
That's okay.
That's okay. So,
happy to be here.
So we spoke probably, I listened to the old interview about 2 years ago, almost. It was 2 years ago, Santi. Yeah, close to that.
Was it 2 years ago already?
Yeah, you were 24. You're 26 now, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, it was 24. Yeah. So that interview was about decision making and how you make decisions, how you do it on a tour, how you make decisions on the court. But I want to talk a little bit about today. Number one is just talk about adversity, because over the last year you've had to go through some stuff and a lot of players don't see it. So describe to me, and I don't want to relive it all. We're going to talk about a lot of good things too. Where's the feeling where you've always have dealt with injuries throughout your career? You know, when I was listening to the interview, you know, you're always in nicks and pains and things like that. When does it get to the point where you're like, uh-oh, I can't go anymore. I need to do this, and I have to do this now because I'm only young once. How does the process work? Like, did you just come out one day when you were like, so everybody doesn't know she had shoulder surgery, but what was the day you were just like, I can't swing a racket anymore?
So it was a long process to get to that. You know, I think it's surgery is always the last thing that you want to do, and it's always the last thing that people suggest that you do. So I was dealing with shoulder pain for a while. I always had a tape on, you know, for years really. But then beginning of the year, not last year, the year before. So the year that we spoke, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Yes. I think so, yeah. So the beginning of that year, I felt a sharp pain playing Fed Cup, you know, Billie Jean King Cup. And I just knew that something wasn't quite right, and it was worse than it was before. And when I saw the doctors, there was a whole process to go through. Like, most probably, I had a tear in the shoulder, but obviously I wanted to finish the season and I didn't want to just stop and go straight into the surgery because I wanted to play Grand Slams and the whole season was ahead. So I tried everything before I tried surgery. I tried to just rehab it for 3 months. I tried an injection of cortisone injection. It's like a steroid injection that they put in so then you don't feel pain so that you can really get it strong. But nothing really lasted. And then at some point in November, I was playing this tournament and I literally couldn't serve without pain. I couldn't practice. You know, I would go on a tournament not being prepared for that tournament because I wasn't able to practice because I didn't want to overload the shoulder. And that's when I kind of realized that, you know, I could probably keep playing like this with pain, but if I want to become a better tennis player and if I want to be a top tennis player, I need to have a shoulder and I need to have
that functions.
A serve without it hurting. And that's when I saw my doctor. And again, it's not as straightforward because your doctor is like, okay, let's go see a surgeon. Then you take an MRI scan. I took an MRI scan with the, they put like a little dye in your shoulder for them to see it very clearly. And then you see one surgeon, they tell you one thing. Then I went to see another surgeon and you're praying that this surgeon will tell you exactly the same thing as the previous one, because then you just have to keep seeing lots of different people. So I saw three different people, and all of them told me exactly the same thing. So it was a pretty straightforward decision to just go ahead and get it done, because yeah, everyone around me basically advised on it.
You know, it's interesting because you see all these athletes play. It just made me think of something. You see them play, they're traveling all over the world. It all seems glamorous and all this stuff. And then you don't realize there really should be a long form interview on jet lag, travel, how you get out, how do you get ready, how do you do that? I remember Serena drinking an espresso in the first round of a tournament because she was jet lag. Remember that? Like, all of those things are so. Because you see the whole, oh, you see all these players at Eden Wells now, and it's all glamorous, it's all great. They're all hanging out with Larry Ellison, they're staying in a beautiful hotel. But it's this stuff, like procedure-wise, you gotta go get a surgery, right? So, how long was the procedure? Like how like preparing for that the day before? You're like, have you ever had a major surgery before?
I've never had any surgery. I mean, I've got my wisdom tooth out, but I don't think that counts.
I don't think that counts. For any of the kids around here, I don't think that counts as a major injury, kids. So when you make that commitment, are you afraid to go into surgery? You know, some think things like this. You know, players get 12, 14 surgeries, and you just assume that's part of life. You know, my mother years ago used to be the doctor for the Rutgers football team, a local football team, Division One, and she would have to take their blood, right? And you just think, oh, you know, their usual thing. They all pass out, she said. All these huge football players would pass out. So I'm just so curious. I'm like, how did you feel going into surgery? You'd never been into surgery. Were you afraid? Did you like, oh, my God, I don't want to be under anesthetic. Like, how are all those feelings go under, too? I mean, we should get into the, like, the nitty-gritty of what an athlete has to go through. How did you feel?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually, because, yeah, like you said, obviously I have never had a surgery before, and it's quite nerve-wracking because before you go in, obviously no one's telling you that this is going to be 100% success, and all the surgeons, especially the good surgeons, they're kind of underselling it, and they're like, oh, you know, like there is a 70% chance that it will go well, 80% chance it will go well, but like, there is still that 20% that something might happen. Not, you know, you're not going to die and you're not going to like
sure.
come out with it like even worse of an injury. But like the thing with my surgery was that if someone did it badly or if something wrong would have happened, they would have over tightened it and I wouldn't be able to extend my hand, my shoulder, like my hand fully up in the air. So you would not be able to serve properly ever again, basically. So
over tighten the tendon you're talking about?
Yeah, there was a chance of over tightening a tendon, like the joint that they're repairing.
Yeah,
they're kind of like tightening it a tiny bit, and there was a, you know, if not a great surgeon would have done it, they could have over tightened it, and then you wouldn't know that until all the rehab would be done, and then until you would have started to play again, and then you'd realize that actually, no, like I really can't serve and it's bad. So yeah, all the surgeons that I've spoken to before, they all told me about this thing. They're like, you know, whoever you're going to go with, they need to make sure that they're not going to do this. They're not going to over tighten it, because some sports don't need that full extension. But obviously, tennis does need it. So I know my friend's boyfriend got a surgery on his shoulder, and he plays rugby or something. So they don't care. Like, the surgeon should have tightened his because they don't need that full extension. But now he can't lift his hand all the way up, basically. So it's always that bit of, like, a danger of, you know, something going wrong. And I definitely had those thoughts before going into surgery, like, what if this goes wrong and what if I won't be able to play again, or what if it goes well but then the pain is still there, what if it goes well but then I'm playing badly when I get, but you know, all these thoughts are just there. And so I don't know, like, to honestly, I spoke to a psychologist before I went in, my psychologist, and she told me really nice advice of just like writing all these thoughts down, like all these scenarios down, and And then asking, okay, what then? What then? What then? So like, okay, so if they over tighten it, what can I do about it? And then you just kind of like go with it, and then you realize that there is always something that can be done. But yeah, I don't know. Like at the end of the day, you know that you gotta do it, because if you don't do it, you're not gonna get there anyways, right? So you might as well do it and give yourself that 70 or 80% chance that people are promising you.
It makes me think of a quote that they always say, risk is when you've thought of everything and there's still risk. So I'm not doing the quote well, but it's like, risk is when you've thought of every single thing, and the risk is when you just don't know what the rest is. And that's what risk is. Like, so it's a great way to understand that, because players go into surgery, you hear about it, you're like, oh, they'll be back in 6, and you just totally forget, and then you see him on the court, like Raonic is going to be back on the court, Danny Wells. You're just like, oh, you forget, and you're like, wait a minute. All of that, the due diligence, how did you know what questions to ask correctly about the surgery? You're your own self-advocate, I'm sure. You don't have a huge team around you. How do you know what to ask? How do you know what surgeon to go to? Or is it just other friends and other athletes going to? Like, I know I'm getting kind of a little granular here, but it's very important to understand the life of an athlete and what you're doing. And like, even like, you're not like, it's not like, not everyone is Djokovic and all these people that are top 10 in the world, and they have all these, amenities, and there's handlers all over the place and blah, blah, blah. How do you find out a simple fact like that? If I tighten this too much, is that just looking it up online, or is it just asking other people that have gone through the surgery?
I got pretty lucky, because when I got the surgery, when I got the injury, I was then going to a WTA tournament. So I went there to see the physio, and I didn't play that tournament. I just went there to see the physio and ask for the advice. And then I asked her, who should I see when I go back to London? Because I knew that if I want to take care of it, London would be a better bet than Georgia in terms of finding the best surgeons in the world, that sort of thing. And I got directed to an amazing doctor who works for WTA as well as Wimbledon. He's amazing, and he guided me through everything, like the whole process of an injection, rehab before. He was telling me, he's the one who kind of like put that seed in my brain as well, that like, you could be looking at getting a surgery, because it wasn't even in my brain before that. And then he is the one who suggested a really good surgeon, and then he's the one who suggested another good surgeon. He kind of guided me through it all, but I got pretty lucky with that. I feel like if I was from Georgia, I don't know if WTA would know anyone that good in Georgia. But normally, to be honest, they have really good people, doctors, physios, all around the world, really, and they can really guide you through that. And they obviously, they can't tell you to like go do surgery, but they can tell you who to see to begin with, and then just go from there, like a good doctor. And then that doctor can lead. I don't know, that's what happened to me. Like, he then guided me through everything.
And just everybody know, it's not, because we're in America, it's not the state of Georgia, it's the country of Georgia, so don't get confused. It's not like she's looking for a surgeon in Atlanta, Georgia, or something like that. So, but kudos to the WTA. They have a great infrastructure then. They can obviously help their athletes. They have a knowledge base, they're connected to a lot of things, so they can help you a lot. So you, and I know I'm going a little longer with this because I'm just so fascinated, and so people can understand. So you finish the procedure. You're going through rehab. You don't know how it's going to feel until you start to hit the ball, whether it's too tight or not. What is that time frame?
You don't even know how it's going to be, whether you. No, to be fair, like once you start the rehab, like first 10 days, I had mine in a sling, so I couldn't do anything. I know some. I've actually spoken to quite a few girls who has done the same surgery, and loads of them had different stories, and I feel like I'm quite lucky with how mine turned out, because it's been pretty straightforward. Where I was expecting to have quite a few setbacks in terms of rehabbing, but yeah, I've been quite lucky with that, I guess. My body kind of recovered well. But yeah, first 10 days, you have it in a sling. Some people have it longer. So one of the girls had it for a month, I think. So it just depends, I guess, on what the specifics are or something. And then after that, you basically, for like first month or so, you're trying to just lift your hand up because your hand is like, it's painful. Like if I would try to lift my hand up like below the waist, it would hurt. Like I could feel it in my shoulder. So you're kind of like trying to lift your hand up by using the right muscles as well, because you could do it with different muscles, and then that's kind of like wrong rehab as well. So it's just, it's just the most boring and painful month ever,
Jeez.
because I was thinking, like, if I can't lift my hand up, how the hell am I going to play tennis again? I was just like, what is going on? But everyone seemed quite calm around me. I had good physios. Again, got lucky with that because, they've been through all that. They've done it all before. But everyone seemed really calm about it. And they're like, yeah, like, this is the procedure. This is how it works. In 3 months, you will start to play tennis again, but not serve, just hit balls. And that's exactly how it happened. In 3 months, I was hitting from the baseline and it was fine. I could still not fully lift my hand up at that point. So, like, I could hit, round strokes, but I definitely couldn't serve because it would still hurt when I would like fully extend. And then my surgeon told me in 6 months post-surgery, I'll be able to serve. And I did serve 6 months later, but it really took me 7 months to feel confident to really throw a racket head. In 6 months I was serving, but it was more like cautious, kind of. Sometimes I would still feel the pain, but not the same pain. It was like this different pain, which wasn't as worrying as the one before, basically. And then yeah, it took me 7 months to play my first tournament back, I think.
So 7 months, and what was the official injury? Like, what did they say it was?
Labral
A
tear.
labral tear. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So, yeah, that's the thing. Basically, how they explained it to me was that if it was a muscle tear or, like, I don't know, any other tear, normally it's fine because the muscles get the blood flow and they can recover. But because it's a joint and it's a labrum, they don't get the blood flow. So, the only way for you to recover it is to go in and repair the actual tear. Or you can try and do rehab, which I did. And basically, first thing you try to do is rehab it, then you get an injection, and then you get a surgery. If nothing else works, then you get the surgery.
Sure. So people should check out your social. We'll mention it in the front and the end that you had put so many interesting videos of you going through rehab. I don't know if you curated them, though. They were usually on your story. You should curate them all and put them on your feed about the whole pro. I mean, because I remember you were just trying to lift your arm. I remember seeing the videos and then
Yeah.
going from there. It's like it's an incredible process to watch. It'd be great if you just clip them together to when you're finally hitting. It's really cool. It's.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's
Thank
not cool when it's happening for you, but what I'm saying, it's cool after the fact, especially now when we can discuss that you're playing pretty well, which is great to hear. I mean, that first match back, emotions, are you just happy to be on the court? Or do you expect anything? I mean, because obviously you're 11 and 2 right now. You have a good record. Were you just totally surprised by the results?
I was surprised at how calm I felt on court, because I've been, obviously, like, these 7 months have been the hardest 7 months, not just because of, I wasn't playing tennis, but because I was just training so much physically. I was just like, even when I couldn't lift my hand up, I couldn't run at first. So I was just doing bike sessions like twice a day. Lower body weight, everything that I could do, I was doing it for 7 months. And then once I could start running, I was like running. It was like probably the hardest physical block that I've done. So I was, once I got on court after 3 months, even, I felt fine. I felt like I was playing quite well. I haven't hit a ball in 3, 4 months, and I was hitting the ball fine. So I was really surprised with that, at like how fit I felt on court and how I just wouldn't get tired. So I always thought that I feel like this in practice and maybe in practice matches, but when I step on court and the nerves kick in, I might feel different. I might get tired. I don't know. You never know what sort of feelings it will bring, right? So the good thing was that there was a tournament 5 minutes away from where I live in London, where I'm staying here. And it kind of didn't feel like a tournament. That's where I normally practice it as well. So it kind of felt like another practice week. So I guess it took away the nerves a little bit, or I don't really, maybe I would have felt like this anyways. I don't know. But yeah, it just felt normal. And then I got on court, played ma I played great. Probably, one of the best performances I've played, even the year before when I was in pain. And I was like, wow, okay, like this is good. And then I won another match. I think I did, I qualified and made quarters in my first tournament back. And I was like, okay. And then lost to a really good player. So I was like,
Yeah.
okay, so we're getting somewhere.
That's fantastic. I mean, people always say you lower your expectations a little bit. You probably didn't expect much. You just wanted to feel okay. And how did you feel physically? Besides, you seem to be in better shape, like you said. It seems like you came back in better shape than you were before, and your shoulder was fine, right?
Yeah, much better shape. I mean, the fact that I was able to practice and train all these months, which I wasn't able to do the year before, or the years before, really, because of the shoulder, it was just always bothering me. So, I was always trying to control the load, not do too much, don't do too many serves, don't aggravate the shoulder. I've never actually just been like, right, let's do this, let's smash it, like do some serves, do this, do
Right.
everything. So, yeah, if I felt fine. I didn't even feel sore. I
That's
played,
awesome.
I think I played three setters in that tournament, and I felt I didn't even feel sore the next day. Oh, and I played singles and doubles on the same
Jeez.
tournament, and me and my doubles partner won the doubles. We won the title. I forgot about
I forgot about that. We
that.
won a title. I forgot. I mean, you played both singles and doubles your first tournament back. I mean,
Yeah.
did your coach say don't do that, or did you just say, hey, I'm just gonna do it?
No, yeah, I kind of thought that I'd lose singles early on because, my first tournament back, no one expects to do well on your first tournament back. And I thought if I lose singles, then I'd use doubles as like an extra match practice.
Sure.
But then, yeah, I did well in singles, so quarters in singles. And then, yeah, we won the doubles. So, yeah, it went well. And then I played the tournament straight away the week after that again in UK. And I had to play qualifying again, and I qualified and played semis on that one. So it was like really, really good first tournaments back.
So, last question about the 7 months. It may be a little personal question, but hopefully it'll be okay. Support system. It's got to be tough. We've all been in relationships. You're in a relationship. Somebody never says the right thing. How does it go when you're feeling very, whatever? You're feeling doubtful. You don't know how it's going to go, blah, blah, blah. How's your boyfriend in that situation? How does it go? Do you guys ever have a situation where, there's always a discord? How was that? Was it just like, did you have to feel like sometimes emotionally you just have to go through this by yourself because no one can really understand? Or is it, was it all fine? Did it all work out? Did you guys have any friction, or was it good?
I honestly, it was all fine. Like, I kind of realized that once I got through the surgery, I relaxed, like my mind relaxed, because the year before I was just so stressed out about everything, about, like playing tournaments in pain and not playing a tournament, but then missing out on some points. Once I got the surgery done, I just like completely relaxed, and
So
you kind of like
it was worse the year before when you couldn't
it
perform.
was worse the year before for me, like going to a tournament knowing that even if you win the first match, you might not be fit to play the next one. And
Okay.
once I did it, it was really freeing. And then, I remember this one morning I woke up and we were just chatting about something, and my boyfriend was telling me something, and suddenly he's looking at me and I'm like crying because I looked at the ranking and it was 1,200 or something. It changed that morning and I was like, oh my God,
gosh.
I'm 1,200. And I think that was the difficult morning, to see the ranking that you've worked so hard for, to go
Yeah.
pretty much from where you be, started your career with. But after those two tournaments that I played, it went to 700 or 600. So again, it just showed me that as long as you work hard, you do the right things, ranking and points,
Yeah.
they do take care of themselves. So I don't care about it now, but it was just it, I didn't even care about it the next morning, or even that evening. It was just hard to see, in that moment when I think it popped up on my phone or something, and I
Oh.
was like, oh my God.
So that's a good relationship advice. Usually I try not to say anything at that point because I'll never say anything correct. You just kind of be a shoulder and you just listen, because the worst is when someone says, "Oh, you got nowhere to go but up here." You just want to kill somebody. Yeah, I'm sure. That's the
No, he saw it apparently. Like as soon as he woke up, he saw it. So he was just like waiting for me to see it. Like he hasn't mentioned it. So then when he looked, he was like, oh. But
Well,
yeah, there's nothing to say, is there? It's just
no.
yeah.
But look, I mean, it's a great section to talk about how much adversity people go through. All I do is sometimes I read too much. The what Maria says, as you know, I sometimes I'm reading 2 books a week, and she's like, "Look, you got to stop reading." But I'm always reading business books about how, and everyone, between super successful people and people that aren't successful because they give up, the amount of adversity people go through is insane. Like people running tire businesses to internet companies to this, they get so much stuff thrown at them, and people just think they're lucky, and they're not. They just outwork and out hustle everybody else, and it's really incredible to see you do that. You're really just your inspiration to students and players, and to say, "Oh, this person, then they'll, what'll happen is we'll see you, it's great to talk about your ranking now. You're up to 363 already. You'll see you on TV and they're like, "Oh boy, this person had a great tournament. Well, how lucky they are." And they're like, "No, most of the time people don't see any of this pain, any of this work, any of this adversity, any of this doubt, any of the feelings of like, I don't even know if I can do this again." It's so great to see. How the way you're feeling right now, I don't want to get so ahead of ourselves here. Do you feel like you can be up there in the top 100 again? What's your like? There's a great book that I'm actually going to send to you. It's called The Confident Mind. It's an awesome book. It's by
Okay.
West Point. A West Point director, Nate Zinsser, Dr. Nate Zinsser, and it's about how you envision things. And visioning is just your thoughts about how you, and he does a great thing called the doorway technique. Every time you walk through a doorway, you just to say who you are. A lot of these students that we have here don't really know what they want, or they don't even, or they only say anything in the negative. They're like, "Oh, I ask them about a match, and they're like, "Oh, I double faulted this, I did that." I said, "What did you do well?" No one discusses what they do well, and no one envisions anything good. So we go through the class and we say, "What are you? What do you want to be?" And I always tell them they have to say like they've achieved them. They have to say it in the positive. So whether I'm a Division One player or I'm a world-class athlete, you have to say it that way. People go, "Well, I hope I do this. I hope I do that." What have you envisioned feeling well that you can take this somewhere? And it better be in the positive, Marion. It better not be in the negative. Where do you think you can go with this?
Yeah, and like you said, I never you don't want to get ahead of yourselves, right? So the way I've been playing now since I've been back from an injury, my coach has been telling me, everyone around me has been telling me that I'm playing better than before, and consistently better than, it's not like I'm having a good week. I'm like, day in, day out, I'm a better tennis player. And I did that because I've worked really, really hard during those 7 months. So I don't want to, I don't know. I mean, I kind of like not having this ranking goals or point goals or anything. I just really like seeing my performance, and I really like playing and enjoying it, and I just want to keep enjoying it. And I think if I will keep enjoying it, and if I'll stay injury free, then who knows? Like, sky's
Boy,
the
that's real
limit.
appreciation. Like, I give you credit for that, and I should realize this, as most of these great athletes are just like, I'm going to work as hard as I can. I'm having a great time, and the results will take care of themselves. And you even said that when we talked. Marin was here a couple years ago, at the facility, but we talked. You said when you were a kid, it just kind of happened as well. You didn't have any of these great goals. All of a sudden, you had this point, and they said, "Oh, you qualified for this, and I got to go over here, and I have to go over here." It just kind of happened. You were enjoying what you were doing, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't like I wrote down this specific goal and that I want to be on the WTA tour by this time. You were just kind of like, "Oh, I qualify for this. I gotta go to this tournament, right?" All right. Is that what we remember that?
Exactly. Yeah, I obviously, like, it's way more structured right now, and I know what I need to do to get there because I've been at to some level before. But again, like, my goal isn't to get back to where I was before. My goal is to just go as higher as I can and keep enjoying it. But because that's one thing that I really realized, like, last year I realized that I really wasn't enjoying playing tennis anymore because of how much pain I was in every single day. And, you know, the fact that I'm enjoying training, the fact that I'm enjoying playing tournaments, doing all the different things that I'm able to do on court, it's just really nice to be able to perform the way I want to perform. And yeah, like, if you're not enjoying it, then you shouldn't be doing it, right? So I think that's the most important thing right now. And it made me think about other things. Like, during the rehab time, I was like, oh, you know, what if you won't be able to come back? What if the pain will still be there? Obviously, though. And then I was like, okay, so what would you want to do next? What would, if not tennis, what is it that you want to do? So I started doing an online degree in one of the US universities. Again, like, that's one of the perks the WTA has. They kind of, like, direct you towards, like, these great scholarships and stuff. So now I'm kind of, like, working on my career right now, but I'm also in my downtime working on my plan B or even plan C or whatever that might be. So I don't have to feel stuck
Okay.
like I did last year or the
Little
year before that
less
was. Yeah.
pressure. So yeah, let me ask that question. WTA gets you scholarship classes to anywhere online? Like, do you have a do they
No, so WTA has a deal with IU East University,
Okay.
and it is, I don't really know, like, much details of, like, who can access. I think, I don't know if you have to be a certain ranking. I don't really know the details of it, but I know that they have a deal with IU East University, and you can start an online degree with them, and WTA gets you a scholarship. And it's like certain enough. I don't know. Like, I don't know if I should get into specifics, but yeah,
IU East. What
basically,
does IUE stand for? What is it? Internet. What is it?
yeah,
International University. What is it?
Indiana
Oh, it's
University.
Indiana University. Okay.
Yeah.
IU East. East is interesting though. So I guess it's an Eastern campus or something. Indiana's in the middle
Yeah,
of
I
the
think
country.
they've got different campuses, and maybe, like, the East campus does the online stuff, I think.
Okay. Well,
But
that.
I know that loads of players have done it. They've gone through this degrees, and if you go on their website, you can see, like, some of the top players have done it and they've gotten degree. But it's, like, self-paced in a way that you get to choose how many courses you take per term. So, like, you know, obviously I'm not doing it full time because it would be too much on top of competing, but
Sure.
it's a great thing to start now while I am competing. So maybe in, like, 7 or 8 or however many years that I'll play tennis for after I'm done, I can have a degree as well as a good career, hopefully.
So are we ta we were talking about this before when we were talking on the phone. We were t business classes, right? You're
Yeah.
taking? Now, do you
Well, I'm thinking business or, like, communications or something. Like, I haven't chosen the major yet.
Well, I mean, you're so you've got such a great personality. Do you ever want to do something like commentary? Is that what you're talking about? Like in your home country or something? Or do you want to, would you ever want to run a business? Would you want to run an academy? Would you like, what are your thoughts on that end? You think, Annie?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I just
I don't know. It's just like tennis. I just want to play and have fun. I don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, I think right now I'm just going to take loads of like introductory classes and see if I like anything more than other things, and go from there. Because I don't want, you know, like, I don't really, I can see myself commentating, maybe. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if I'd be enjoying that or if I'd be good. I don't know.
That's all right. That's
I guess
right.
You got to try, right?
Yeah,
so,
just to try, yeah. Like we say, taste like different foods. You don't know what you like until you try all of them, right?
Exactly.
So schedule this year. When's the next tournament? What are you looking to? What's your, and I'm not going to hold it to you. What's your schedule over the next few months?
So in a week and a half, I'm going to go to Slovenia. There are two W75s there.
Okay.
And I'm going to play the... Wait, I don't know if the second one is a W75. Actually, don't quote me on that. But the first one is W75. It's like an ITF tournament.
So 75K, so I'm gonna is play... that what that means for everybody that doesn't know? Right?
Sorry?
What does that mean for everybody that doesn't know? 75K?
So it's a 60K, okay. But you get 75 points if you win the tournament.
Okay, 75. Okay.
So they kind of changed the system this year. It used to be that it was a 60K and that was the name of the tournament, but okay. You'd get different points. But now the tournament's name is how many points you'll get if you win that tournament.
Okay. So you got that next week, you said, or 2 weeks?
The week after next one, yeah. So I've got 2 weeks there, then a week of training, and then we've got Billie Jean King Cup. Playing for Georgia, the country.
Nice.
And then
the country, everybody, the country. I'm playing for Atlanta, everybody.
And then I think I'll just stay in Europe after Billie Jean King Cup as well. I don't, you know, I think it's like French Open is coming soon, but I don't think my ranking is going to be good enough for that. For the deadline for that.
Let's tell everybody that. Let's get a little specific. I don't want to interrupt, but let's say, okay, so everybody doesn't know. The deadline, where's your ranking need to be? Say you want to qualify for Wimbledon, or you can say the French Open, but Wimbledon is more something you're looking for probably. Where does your ranking need to be, and by what deadline? Let's do Wimbledon. What do you say?
So, yeah, basically, I actually don't know the dates.
Okay.
I never know that. I'm really bad with like deadlines and dates. So don't quote me on this, but as I remember correctly, if let's say qualifying starts 1st of July.
Is it like 2 weeks before?
So yeah, let's say if Wimbledon starts at some date, qualifying will start the week before that.
Yep.
And then the deadline to sign in for qualifying would be 4 weeks before the qualifying starts.
So a month before, that's when they take the rankings.
Yes, okay. I think. Okay. It's either 4 weeks or 6 weeks, because I think it could be 6 weeks for a main draw.
So we're splitting here.
I'm pretty sure it's 4 weeks. I'm pretty sure it's 4 weeks, yeah.
So where do you need your ranking to be? To get even
so
into the
qualifying? So you would want to be, to get into qualifying off a Grand Slam and be safe, you would want to be inside 220, I think. It used to be, it depends. Like, if you're inside 230, you're looking good.
Okay.
But if you want to be sure, you should probably be inside 220, I think.
Inside 220. Okay, so...
if you want to be 100% sure, then like obviously like top 200. But like 220, I think you're pretty safe.
Don't worry. No one's gonna go online and say this is incorrect. So certain amount of tournaments, you need a certain amount of points, and you figure not enough time for the French in May. You may have the opportunity, because you'll have enough tournaments, enough points available to be able to get up to 220.
Yeah, well, that's a goal. Like, if I don't do it this year, you know, that's the goal to, like, win more matches, get more points, get a higher ranking, get into Grand Slams. So that's what everyone is aiming for, basically. And that's how you make money. So that's the end goal.
So I was thinking about the interview last time in 2019 when you made the second round of the Open, and I remember this. I didn't remember it. I had to listen to it again, that you were still injured then. You weren't feeling great, and you said, "Oh, I can't believe I played well and made it." Like, was it still the same nagging shoulder injury, or was it just other stuff?
I think it was a few different things during that week, but shoulder has always been there throughout my career, honestly.
Do you think you injured your shoulder like years ago and you didn't even know? Like a long time ago?
I think I tore it in, I remember when it happened, when it first happened. Like, I served and it was like this really bad pain, and I literally couldn't hold my hand up. If someone pushed down on it, it would fall down. But then it healed and it was okay, but it was never quite the same. And then once I did it again on that Billie Jean King Cup, I knew that, because it's been hurting before, and if I did it again now, like, I kind of thought that maybe I'd recover from it again, but yeah, I never quite thought that it would be as bad as it was.
Okay, so quick question of dynamics on the tour. I was always interested in this. How are the players? Is everybody kind of alone out there? Are there people that you can get close to, or is it kind of just, I'm really on my own, I just have my team? In general, the two different questions. We'll get to the other one. How many people do you think are just playing injured? How many people are dealing with, is there anybody that feels good all the time? It's probably very rare.
No,
No, right? I mean,
no,
it's just
no,
never, right? So
no.
everybody's dealing with something. There's nobody that's feeling great all the time.
Yeah, everyone has something. It's, I mean, even like little niggles and things like that. You always have like tiny little, even like even blisters and stuff. Like, people don't think about, everything. Everyone has a little thing. Probably every, even during training weeks, you might have something, but as long as it's nothing major that you can't deal with anymore, then you kind of just like go with it. And you might take a few days off, take a few anti-inflammatories, rehab it, see physio, it will be fine in a few days. But yeah, it's when it starts to not go away, and it's when it starts to get worse, and when it affects how you play week in, week out, that's when you're really looking at like a really bad injury. But yeah, little things, everyone has it.
How's the dynamic? Because everybody wants to get their ranking up. You go there if you're four people out. In other words, you sign into a tournament. You're not in yet. How's the dynamic between, wanting to be friends with people, but also, you'd like this person to default out of the damn thing because I want to play in the tournament. Like, I know you're not wishing bad on people, but that's what I'm saying. How is the camaraderie? How is it? Everybody wants to, if you watched, you can watch Formula One on Netflix. They're like, even the teammates, like, "Oh yeah, I love him, but I want to beat him." Right? It doesn't matter. Like, I like my teammate, but I know I want to beat him, and that's the way it goes. How is that dynamic? Do you have any friends from the tour? Because it's hard.
I mean, yeah, it depends on the person. Like, there are some girls who are just by themselves and just their teams around them, and that's it. There are some girls who have friends. I've got quite a few friends and really good friends with some of the girls. And if it happens that I play them, doesn't matter. It's just, it's like, if you get on court, of course you're trying to win, but like, who isn't, right? So it normally doesn't really affect anything. But then again, it just depends. Like, if some girls get quite personal on court, it just depends on the person. But then you wouldn't really be friends with that person if they behave too badly on court anyway. So it's kind of like each to their own. There are loads of girls on tour, and some of them like to be by themselves, some of them like to have friends, some of them are a bit of a mixture of both. Depends. Also, it's like if you've got a big team around you, I think, especially on like those, which it's normally you do stuff together, right? So it's like it can look that people are just them and their teams all the time. But I feel like normally the atmosphere is quite nice. Like, you would, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but like, I never feel that someone's being mean to someone else or anything like that. It feels quite nice and chill. And also, you practice with each other, right? Like, when you go in the tournament, you would practice with each other. So you kind of can't just like fully dissociate with everyone, right? Unless you have your own hitting partner, I guess. But
Because you need each
yeah,
other.
it just depends. It depends on the person. Like, I've got friends and I hang out with them even when we're training. Like, we have dinners together. Like, you know, we go out, eat, you know, we're like proper friends and we tell each other, I don't know, things that bother us, stuff like that. And if, to me, it feels good to have someone like that because, like you said, it's quite lonely. You travel a lot and it makes me feel like I've got friends around me. But then some people don't really like that. So I don't know, depends on the person.
Well, you're a nice person, so I'm sure you'll have friends. You know, I mean, that's, I mean, really, it's, you know, everybody says, how do I get success? Or, well, you deserve it. How do I get friends? You deserve it. You'd be a nice person, but, you know, it's the golden rule. You just, you do nice things, and people will do nice things for you. I was going to ask you another question before we wrap it up. The parent coach, I was just thinking about this traveling around. What's the percentage of you think that, and do you think it's a good thing? How many parent coaches do you see out there, and do you think it really helps, or does it, is it such a random thing? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. In my opinion, usually the parent coach is not the greatest thing. It doesn't really work really well. I mean, what do you think?
I don't really know. Like, you see some of the cases where it works well, right? Like Coco Gauff, like clearly works really well. But then you see some cases where, you know, parents could be a bit abusive towards the children, or it kind of like gets too much in a way. Like, are you a coach or are you a parent? I don't know. I've never had that problem myself because my parents have always been just my parents and they've never interfered too much in my tennis at all. And to be honest, I haven't really known anyone whose parents have been that involved in their careers, so I don't really know the like the inside dynamics of it. But like you said, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. It can work or it might not work.
I think it's almost like a success bias you're going to see because Coco's worked, but you see that. But there's probably, to me, another five that didn't that you just never see. So you just don't know. So
Yeah,
that's
you just don't know. And then you don't know what makes that work. You don't know what didn't make the other one work. I feel like I want my, like, personally, I would want my parents to be my parents, first of all, and then anything else. But some people think differently, and maybe that's how they bond as well. Like, it could be like a really good bonding thing between parents and child, but I don't
I don't
know.
know about that
I
one,
don't
but
know.
I don't know.
I don't
Because when you're
know.
exchange then all of a sudden when you're exchanging monies and there's a thing, it becomes business. When is it when are
Yeah, I
you a
wonder how
parent?
the money works, actually. I don't know. How would that
I
work?
think with parents, you'd have to make everything very on the dotted line. You actually have to sign a contract with parents because you don't want to have that get in the way. Just have the contract set, have a lawyer set it, and be done. Because all of a sudden, everybody's, what are we sharing money? What are we doing? Are you my business manager? Are you my mother or my father? I think you would almost need more of a contract with a family because then it gets all blurred if you don't.
I guess I didn't even think that they'd be getting paid. Would do you think they'd be getting? I don't know. If I was coaching my daughter, I don't know if I'd be getting paid for
I would
that.
assume
Would I?
Zverev's brother and his father are getting paid. I just saw them in Acapulco traveling around the world. At least he's paying for all their expenses, right? If they're traveling with
Yeah,
him.
obviously expenses. Yeah, 100%.
I
But
think he's technically his coach. I think he's going to get a fee, right? There's that great
yeah, I don't
documentary with
know. That's a
Serena.
good question. I don't
Did you
know.
see the doc with Serena and HBO? And she was like, she's with the physio, and the assistant comes up and goes, you know, you got to buy this plane ticket for your dad, and her mother needs it. She's like, I just got to keep playing every dollar. Everybody's just like, she's buying all the plane tickets. She's doing everything. It's just too funny. I was just like, you know what? Keep working. Oh, man. Well, Mary, do you have anything else to say in regards to, you know, because this goes to parents, it goes to kids, it goes to juniors, it goes to anybody that listens. Do you have, over your experience or any tennis advice for anybody, anything in regards to anybody that has a goal, anything on your mind that we didn't talk about?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, yeah, the one thing I would say is to make sure that, you know, if it's for a parent, that their child is enjoying tennis and it's something that they want to do and not something the parent wants to do. And then same for the players, like, make sure that you're enjoying it, and the rest is easy. Like, if you're enjoying it, then you want to work hard for it. You want to go and practice. You want to do the things because you're having fun while doing it and you want to do it. But, you know, if you're in pain or if something else is bothering you and you don't want to do this, then you should really find the reason of why. And then if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Like, it's all up to you, right? Like, no one's entitled to play tennis. So I feel like if you're playing tennis, you should enjoy it and be grateful that you get to do this and work hard at it.
Yeah. Well said. Well, look, I mean, we talk about finite, infinite games. If you are happy with something and love it, you're going to outwork everybody. You're going to do the extra stuff because you love it. And you realize that if you are doing this for the long haul, even though, you know, tennis is a finite game in the sense there's one winner and one loser when you play. But if you love it so much, it's always going to be a part of your life. It becomes an infinite game that you always want to play. And if you always want to play it, you're going to be more successful than the other person because you never want to stop playing. So, Marin, it's so great to talk to you again, and I hope to see you soon. I hope we see each other here. I hope I see you in London. I hope the good news, we get to watch you play. Listen, everybody follow her on social media. I'll put all the stuff out in the show notes, and I'll mention it afterwards, but she's been the best. Everybody, deal with adversity. Hang in there. The answer's in the actions. Just keep moving forward. She made it better. She became better athlete in better shape afterwards. You don't have to take adversity. It's not going to be worse. It could be better. You're the best.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everybody.